Happy Resurrection Day. I know it's an unlikely place that brings us all together, but these are strange days in which we're living. This world is bound up with fear over the coronavirus, and certainly there are many that are suffering and heavy-hearted because of the loss of loved ones, and our hearts go out to them. But together we have joined our hearts, and we've come to this place to celebrate a message of hope that we have in our risen Lord. My friends, I want you to know that if Jesus raised again from the grave, there is no problem that you or I may ever face that by His power He cannot overcome. And so today, it's my prayer that as we enter into this time of worship, as brief as it may be, that our hearts would be lifted with hope, and that we would leave this place rejoicing together with a greater sense that our God is in control. My friends, today is Easter Sunday, and I'm glad that you've chosen to be here. And I would just simply tell you that I'm honored and privileged to be a part of this together with you. I want you to know that I believe that we're all going to turn around in a very short period of time, and all the fears that we have held on to will be in the rearview mirror. And just as the Lord was transcendent and He rose so that we might have life, we also will rise above because God is so good. We have a reason to celebrate because Jesus is alive.
Amen. Good morning, everyone, and welcome. A little boy named Johnny was sick on Palm Sunday, and he stayed home from church with his mother. And when the family returned home, his father returned from church holding a palm branch. The little boy was curious and asked, "Dad, why do you have a palm branch?" His dad said, "You see, Johnny, when Jesus came into town, everyone waved palm branches to honor him. So we got palm branches at church today." Well, Johnny said, "Great. The one time I miss Sunday school, Jesus shows up." I think sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll miss out on what God has for us. And I trust that today you'll not miss out on the message that God has prepared just for you this Easter. The story is told of a little boy named Philip who was born with Down syndrome. He attended a third grade Sunday school class with several 8-year-olds, boys and girls, and typical of that age, the children did not readily accept Philip with his differences. And according to an article that appeared in Leadership Magazine, but because of a creative teacher, they began to care about Philip and accept him as part of the group, though not fully. The Sunday after Easter, the teacher brought Legs pantyhose containers. I don't know about you, but I can remember back far enough that my mom used to wear those. And whenever she would bring those home from the store, the first thing I'd get a hold of was those big eggs that those pantyhose came in. And each child received one, and they were told to go outside on that lovely spring day and find some symbol for new life and put it inside the egg-like container. Back in the classroom, they would share their new life symbols, opening the containers one by one in surprise fashion. After running about the church property in wild confusion, the students returned to the classroom and placed the containers on the table. Surrounded by the children, the teacher began to open them one by one. After each one, whether a flower or a butterfly, a leaf, the class would ooh and awe. Then one was open, revealing nothing inside. The children exclaimed, "That's stupid. That's not fair. Somebody didn't do their assignment." Philip spoke up. "Hey, that's mine." "Philip, you don't ever do things right," a student retorted. "There's nothing there." "I did so do it right," Philip insisted. "I did do it. It's empty. The tomb was empty." Silence followed. From then on, Philip became a full member of the class. Philip died not long afterward from an infection that most children would have shrugged off. At the funeral, this class of 8-year-olds marched up to the altar, not with flowers, but with their Sunday school teacher, each to lay on it an empty pantyhose egg. You see, an 8-year-old is old enough to grasp the reality that Jesus, who died for them and was buried, rose again, and the tomb is empty. And there's so much hope that comes from that wonderful message. You see, that is really essentially the gospel. The heartbeat of the gospel is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 5 times in the ministry of Jesus, He promised that He would die, and after He was buried, He would rise again. And my friends, that promise He made 5 times was a promise kept. The Bible tells us about the first time Jesus made that promise in John chapter 2. "Then answered the Jews and said unto Him, What sign showest Thou unto us, seeing that Thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But He spake of the temple of His body.
When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Today the call is to all to believe the word that Jesus promised, that he would come again from the dead to save his people from their sin and then to offer them life eternal in heaven with him. I want you to know that apart from Easter, there is no gospel. Apart from that resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. Because, my friends, the gospel is all about good news. And if Jesus simply died, there's no good news there because there's no life. There's no one to believe in and there's nothing to hope for. And so, the heartbeat of the gospel is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And today I submit to you that Easter is for the hopeful. It's for those that believe and have taken God at His Word and they know and understand that this Jesus that has raised from the dead is ascended into heaven and is coming again to receive them unto Himself, that where He is, they may be with Him forever. It is said that the British Prime Minister back in the 50s, W.E. Sangster, began to lose his voice and his mobility, and he had a disease that caused a progressive muscular atrophy. He was recognized that the end was near, so he threw himself into writing and praying. In the midst of his suffering, he pleaded, "Lord, let me stay in the struggle. I don't mind if I can no longer be a general, but give me just a regiment to lead." Sangster's voice eventually failed completely, and his legs became useless. On Easter morning, just a few weeks before his death, he took a pen and shakily wrote his daughter a letter. In it he said, "It is terrible to wake up on Easter morning and have no voice with which to shout, 'He is risen!' But it would be still more terrible to have a voice and not want to shout." Certainly those that have no hope do not have a reason to shout with joy. But because Jesus has risen, we can have this hope that He is the resurrection and the life. And when we believe in Him, we will have life eternal with Him. He said, "Because I live, ye shall live also." He is risen from the dead, just as He said. And so we know that Easter is for those that are hopeful. Peter wrote in his first epistle that Jesus has begotten us again with a lively hope or a living hope. And what we realize is that because Jesus lives, our hope is in Him and we have a living hope in Jesus Christ. Easter is for the hopeful. I want you to know not only that, but Easter is for the hopeless. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus and he talked about those that were Gentiles that were outside of the commonwealth of Israel and having there, he said, no God and without hope in this world. You see, Easter was for those that were without hope. When we consider those that came to the empty tomb, they came with hearts that were heavy. They came grieving over the fact that they loved Jesus and they had watched Him die. And now all that they had hoped for seemed gone and they were filled with a sense of despair and hopelessness. What we find is that the women came to the tomb. Isn't it interesting that there were women that followed Him all the way to the cross? It wasn't the men. It wasn't Simon Peter. By then, Simon Peter was cowering somewhere and in a despair all his own for having denied the Lord Jesus three times in the hour of our Savior's greatest need. But there stood the women as they watched him die. And there was the beloved disciple. And we know that the women, they came to the tomb. We read of that in Luke chapter 24. And the Bible tells us that they came weeping to the place where the stone was rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of Jesus. And it came to pass they were much perplexed, and behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. The Bible tells us that it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, that were there and went and told these things unto the apostles. And it says that their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Later we find Mary coming to the tomb, and there once again Mary Magdalene was not confronted by angels. Initially she thought that it was the gardener, but it was Jesus Himself. That is a great consequence to me, because it speaks to me that Easter is for the hopeless, because when Jesus met Mary Magdalene, she was a demon-possessed woman, a woman emptied of hope and filled with despair, tormented in her spirit, who had followed now the Lord that she had grown to love, and it seemed like all hope was gone because her Lord was now dead. And yet, when she came to the empty tomb and confronted by a man that first she thought was the gardener, she said, I don't know where they have laid my Lord. And Jesus spoke to her. Just one word was all. Mary. Immediately, she recognized His voice. And she understood that this was indeed Jesus. And she, who had been hopeless, was now hopeful, because the one that had promised to rise again was standing there before her. There was another woman a few years prior in the ministry of Jesus. We read of her in John chapter 4, who had a moment like Mary Magdalene. That woman was the woman at the well. She was much set aside by the women there of Samaria. She was the butt of all the jokes in the marketplace because she was of disrepute. She'd had a troubled life, and she had had five husbands, and now was living with a man that she was not married to. And when she began to engage the Lord, He said, I will give you living water and you'll never thirst again. And she wanted to have that water. She began to engage the Lord, and she said, we know that when Messiah will come, He will teach us all things. And there she had her moment, where the Lord looked at that woman that no one had any use for and said, I that speak unto thee am He. In that moment, He filled her heart with hope and with joy where none existed before. And because of the transformation that took place in that one woman's heart, an entire city was turned to the Savior because of the testimony of that one woman. And now a woman stood before the Lord named Mary, whose heart was filled with despair, and her despair was turned to joy. Her hopelessness was turned into hope once again because Jesus was alive. I would say to you that an article appeared many years ago in the LA Times, and it was told that on February 27th in 1991, during the Desert Storm War, a woman named Ruth Dillow received the worst call of her entire life. See, her son, Clayton Carpenter, a private first class, had stepped on a landmine and was dead. For the next 3 days, Mrs. Dillow grieved and no one could console her. On the third day, after receiving that terrible news, the phone rang. And on the other end of the phone, there was a voice that said, "Mom, it's me, Clayton. And I'm alive." At the first, she thought it was a cruel joke. But as the conversation continued, she realized that it was, in fact, her son, Clayton. Later, she laughed. She said she laughed and cried and rejoiced because what seemed to be a hopeless situation turned out to be the greatest day of her life. That's what news from a graveyard will do for you. And what seemed hopeless turned into the greatest day for all of humanity, because where there was no hope, hope came alive. And that was Jesus, the very personification of hope. Today I tell you this, that our Savior is alive, and Easter is for the hopeful, and Easter is for the hopeless. But I would tell you as well, Easter is for the helpless. It's for the helpless. You see, sometimes people speak in platitudes and they say things that they claim as biblical and they're not really Bible at all. They'll say things like, "God helps those that help themselves." And many people will say, "Oh, that's right. God helps those that help themselves." But you know, that doesn't appear anywhere in the Bible. The truth of the matter is that God helps those that cannot help themselves. And that really is where we come to the gospel. Because as sinners, we could not help ourselves. There was nothing that we could do in order to obtain salvation. We could not change the sinful condition that we found ourselves in. And we needed a Savior. But friends, a dead Jesus could never be our Savior. He could forgive our sin, but never save us from the sting of it. We would have to face an eternal death unless there was a living, risen Savior to give it to us. The story is told of a little boy and his father that were driving down a country road on a beautiful spring afternoon. And suddenly out of nowhere, a bumblebee flew into the car window. And since the little boy was deathly allergic to bee stings, he became petrified. And as the father became aware of that, he quickly reached out and grabbed the bee as it flew through the front seat. And he squeezed it in his hand. And then he released his hand, and as soon as he let it go, the bee buzzed back towards the sun, and the little boy became frantic again as the bee came into the back seat. And the father sensed his son's fear, and once again he reached out his hand, but this time he pointed to his hand. There, stuck in his skin, was the stinger of the bee. You see, can you see this? Son, you don't need to be afraid anymore. I've taken the sting for you. And the Christian today does not need to be afraid of death, because Jesus has removed the stinger from death. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus took the sting of death. And what we discover in this is that Easter is for the helpless, those that could not remove the sting of death and could not change the scourge of sin. And so Jesus came and took their sin upon Himself and took their punishment on the cross of Calvary. And He was laid in a tomb. And then He came up out of that grave after 3 days, having removed the sting from sin and having fulfilled all of the demands of the law that were against us. And I'm so grateful today that we can, like Paul, know that Jesus. And he said in Philippians 3, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is that which gives us the ability to truly be saved. It is the essence of the good news, the gospel. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." I would say lastly to you today that Easter is for the hurting. It's for the hurting. I mentioned a moment ago Simon Peter, who stood outside of the hall of Caiaphas and denied the Lord Jesus, that only hours before he said that he would die for. He would lay down his life for Jesus, but now he had denied Him at the very moment when our Savior was in the throes of agony and in the midst of His passion. We know that Jesus looked Peter in the eye as he was led from that hall. The Bible tells us that Peter went out and he wept bitterly. And from that moment, for a season of time, he was separated from the disciples, not counting himself worthy to even be in their midst because of the depth of the betrayal and the denial of his Savior. And yet in Mark chapter 16, when the angels spoke unto those that came to the empty tomb, they said, "Go tell the disciples and Peter that he is risen and he goeth before you into Galilee." You see, Peter had that in his past, and because of that, he was hurting. He had a broken heart. But you know, when Jesus rose again, He had Peter in mind. He knew that that disciple who had denied Him had a broken heart. And He said, "I want Peter to come. I have something in mind for Peter." And I want you to know that the risen, living Lord knows that your heart today may be broken. And so Easter is for you. You might be like that woman at the well. You might be like Mary Magdalene or Peter of old. And you think, "I've got a past, and I'm so sorry for that." But let me say this. Your past does not have to determine your future. And what God says about you is more important than what others think about you. And by the power of the resurrection, the Lord Jesus can rescue you and cause you to transcend and to rise again. Because He lives, we can live also. My friends, today, Jesus made a promise, and as a God that cannot lie, it's a promise that He kept. Oh, He made one more promise, and that was this. When He ascended into heaven, He said, "I'll come again and receive you unto Myself." And so that one Jesus who ascended into heaven is coming again, and we have this hope, because we know that the grave is empty. Jesus is not there. He's in heaven, and one day, and I believe soon, He's going to come in the eastern sky and catch His bride, all the true believers in Jesus, up to heaven to live with Him forever. And because of the resurrection, we have that good news. If you have never personally entered in to a relationship with Jesus by faith, why don't you invite Him into your heart today to forgive your sin and to cleanse you so that you can have the confidence of a home in heaven. Trust in our living Lord, not in your works or your own goodness, but in the work of Jesus on the cross and in the power that He has to save you demonstrated on that Easter morning so long ago. My friend, He loves you. He wants to spend all eternity with you. Praise Him because He lives. Father God, we thank You for the gospel of Jesus Christ and for the heartbeat of the gospel, the empty tomb, a risen living Savior. Help us to live jubilant lives because of that powerful truth. For this we pray in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.
My wife Linda and I would like to thank you for joining us on this beautiful Easter sunrise service. It's our prayer that this would be a cherished memory for you and your family for years to come. To me, Easter speaks of hope. And we have this hope that God is in control and all of the circumstances that have led us to this moment and this place will soon be behind us. But let us never lose grasp of the hope that is both sure and steadfast in our Savior, Jesus Christ.
In John 16:33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Happy Resurrection Day.
Once again, thank you for joining us. If you don't have a church home, consider visiting us at Freeway Baptist Church. I think you'll discover it's more than a church. It's one big happy family, and we'd love to welcome you.